Resting Places.
We're going to do something a bit different from what we've done before. All of the places that we've been so far have had the remains of whoever is resting there hidden away, either deep in the ground or locked inside tombs or even commemorated without remains present. But this one, in the world-famous city of Rome, has the remains of the dead on full display. Well, not just on display. The bones of the dead have been arranged in intricate and complex patterns and even objects. It's called the Capuchin Crypt. For a small price, you can take a tour and see it for yourself. In fact, nightlifers, I bet you some of you have been to the Capuchin Crypt and can tell us a bit about it. Now, what we're going to do tonight, though, is have someone who does guide tours through the crypt join us. Rob Allen is his name, and he is from Through Eternity Tours. Hi, Rob. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Doing very well. Tell us all about the crypt of the Capuchin monks. Where do you find it? Because it's kind of hidden away in Rome a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's, Rome is getting busier and busier, but it is still, I mean, it's connected to where a lot of tourists go, but not for sights to see necessarily. They go there to sleep because it's off of the Via Veneto, which is famous for a lot of hotels and the boom and, the famous movie from Federico Fellini, right? So if you go to Piazza Barberini, which is also a metro stop, you get off at the piazza and then you start to walk up Via Veneto and you stay on the right hand side, and it's literally going to be the first church, and it's pretty nondescript. The church is called Santa Maria delle Concezione, which is St. Mary of the Holy Conception.
So tell us about the story of how this particular place ended up being, well, a place where the bones of monks are kind of used as decorative items.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It is very, I think you always, when you come to Rome or in any other place, many other places in Italy, it's always kind of interesting to think of things in a certain concept or context of time. I think for us, people, when we go to see this nowadays, or even they talked about it when you'd have famous visitors like Nathaniel Hawthorne or Mark Twain, they all kind of would go to this Capuchin crypt because they would hear about it and it would seem so strange to them. What the original intention has a very different effect from what we kind of feel now, because you go into this place and you see basically bones that are on display, and not only just bones, like there's the room of the skulls, the room of the pelvises, it's like the room of the femurs, it just seems very macabre, I guess, almost a bit spooky. It almost seems like a haunted house, because not only do you have this, and they've taken these bones and put them into like architectural settings, so they've created chandeliers, they've created arches, they have niches, and in the niches they even have the monks, the Cappuccini. So just to explain that, they are monks that are an offshoot of the Franciscans, and they are tied up against the wall in niches, and some of them are skeletons with the original robes on them, and some of them still are slightly mummified. Then you can still see their skin on them, very, very dried. And that's kind of an interesting thing that will connect us to the Capuchins and what they were doing, the order in Sicily. But it all kind of started because they were connected to the Franciscan monks. There was a father who started in the 1500s, and he thought that the Franciscans were no longer following the order of a strict life of poverty, and so they became an offshoot of it. This new order was created, and like the Franciscans, they would wear brown habits with the white rope, to be connected to the earth, but they always had a hood with them, a cappuccio, as the Italians would say. And that is even why they got the name the Cappuccini, the little hoods. And somehow these Viennese people saw this and connected it to the coffee drink. And that's where we get the word of a cappuccino from. So it is connected to this order. And they were on the Quirinal Hill in a church, and the church was overcrowded with a lot of the dead buried there. But then something happened, because there was a man who was from a very aristocratic family, Antonio Barberini, and this family became very wealthy as they were merchants in Tuscany. And what happened is that later on, a member of their family, his name was Maffeo Barberini, he was the older brother to Antonio. Well, he became a pope, and he became Pope Urban VIII. And he decided, not very far at all from Piazza Barberini, where this church is, where this crypt is found, he decided to make a family palace there. And at that time in Rome, it wasn't the bustling city that we see there. Via Veneto really didn't exist. It was the countryside in the 1600s. And so in 1623, Antonio was made a cardinal, and he still wanted to have a life of poverty, but he decided he was going to take some of this newfound wealth and dedicated it to the order that he belonged to. And so he had this church that was built by a friar of the Capuchin order. And then he decided to have the bones of all of the friars, the monks that had been buried in the previous church, and had them reburied into this Capuchin crypt. And what was really interesting about it is that his brother, of course, the Pope, could not, I guess, and just to put things into context for you, he was probably one of the, this is the Baroque, this is the heart of the Baroque time period. This is the heart of when art was being used to promote beauty of the church and convince people to join back into the faith, because many people had been leaving because of the Protestant Reformation. And, you know, like think of the great artist John Lorenzo Bernini. He worked for the Barberini Pope. So he, you know, was one to be quite lavish with things. And he, you know, couldn't do that for his brother, who had taken this vow of poverty and to this order. And so what did he do? And I think this is really, really interesting, is that he decided to have, this is a legend that's connected to this crypt, he decided to have earth from either Jerusalem or Bethlehem brought from these areas, connected to where Jesus was crucified, and had the holy earth brought in and placed in the ground in this crypt. Mm-hmm. And so many of the monks wanted to be buried in there because of that. And they would also, at that time in the 17th century, as they wanted to make death, as it's a reminder, right? They wanted to make death as something not to be dreaded, but to be beautiful, and as a reminder to everybody that that is the kind of the permanent eternal life, right? Not something of your living. Our lives are temporary. And that's why they wanted to make it, I guess, beautiful, but I don't know if that necessarily had the same effect for people. And it was also supposed to be a connection of spirituality.
Right. So is it a kind of way of having those bones so visibly on display, of kind of saying, look at us, here we are, we're dead, our bones are here, you know, don't shy away from us. You can, you know, you kind of up close with mortality when you go into that crypt.
Yes, you do. You kind of, in fact, I have to tell you, because, you know, I was just kind of restudying stuff up in preparation for this. And I'm like, oh, because it's just like, oh, you know, I always kind of get that feeling myself. You know, it's just like, I think it kind of reminds us of our temporal moment while we're alive. But yeah, it definitely does. In fact, in the last chamber, you know, I remember, because I've been going there for years, you know, I lived in Rome for a long time. And when we first used to go there, you know, there was just a monk there with a simple little basket, and you could give like a couple of euros. And then you go into the very last room, you would see, apparently it was a Barberini prince, someone of the family, and it was a child's skeleton that's up on the ceiling, and has kind of like he's decorated as if there were bones that created wings. And then there's that famous memento mori, which means like a reminder of death. And he says that, you know, it's written in Italian. He said that what you are, we were. That's what we are, you will be. So definitely, I think there was that certain specific message that they wanted to give. And I'm pretty sure everyone kind of has that feeling when they go through, you know. Nowadays, they created a museum that connects to it. So it's a bit backwards, your process of going through there, because a lot more people do come and see it.
Yeah. Actually, I was there a few months ago, and I remember going there maybe 15 years ago, and I think you could go, as you say, straight into the crypt, or as these days, you have to get your education about the Capuchin monks first before you build yes. up to going to actually look at the bones and the decorative chambers there. Who actually, though, did the death decorating? Are there any ideas about that? Wouldn't it be bizarre to be that person who is, decorating the wall using pelvises?
Yeah, and I was kind of wondering about it, contemplating about it, because like during that time period with that great artist, and he's not the one connected to it, but John Lorenzo Bernini was doing, even for the Pope that I've been talking about, for his funeral monument, Bernini's really the one that I first know about that wasn't just creating death as a skull and crossbones, but he made the angel of death. And you can see two examples of it in St. Peter's Basilica. And when you have these artists doing this stuff, they kind of, for the time period, they kind of create a sensation, because he has in the Barberini tomb, the angel of death with wings and a skeleton, just like writing in the book of the dead and writing the name Urban VIII. And then there's another very, very famous one that I don't know, since you've been to Rome recently, I don't know if you had the pleasure of going to St. Peter's, which is one of my favorite places to take people around. There's a very, very famous monument to Pope Alexander VII, where you see the angel of death flying away and almost unveiling the monument with what he makes stone look like fabric. It's like this beautiful Sicilian stone, and it's a bronze angel, but you don't see the head. You see the back of the skull, and you see the wings, and then you see like his skeletal hand coming out with an hourglass. So that was being done all around at the same time when they started to, in the late 1600s. So the church was built in the 1620s, but it was later on in the 1600s where they started to decorate the bones. And so we don't even know who the artists were. There are these, theories. This man who was a Capuchin named Father Raffaele, he was a painter. There was a guy who was a Viennese artist who was also a friar, Norbert Baumgartner. Maybe these men were. Or there are other even stranger kind of theories. And even if they're not necessarily based on reality, they're kind of interesting because of these stories that get connected to this stuff. So there was apparently, some of the Capuchin friars in France at the time during the French Revolution, during the Reign of Terror, they came to escape it, and then they were kind of stuck inside and they decided to do the decorations. These are all different stories connected to it, but we have no documentation of who did the decoration.
I've got Rob Allen here. Rob is a tour guide with Through Eternity Tours. Now, Rob, you did mention Palermo, the Capuchin monks. Also, there's something similar there. Have you been there? Can you talk to us about that? Because it's kind of on steroids of what you get in the Roman crypt.
Yes, it does. And I'm so glad you asked, because it's so creepy. It's so kind of creepy. It's very, very different. So apparently in Palermo, and there are a few other examples of it. I saw it on a much smaller scale near the town of Messina. And then I honestly read about it, but I was almost frightened about it. So I didn't go into the crypts in Palermo. I had the opportunity, but I kind of backed down. But what it is, apparently, so when the friars had the church there, it was called Santa Maria della Pace, St. Mary of Peace, they were needing space. And so they had already been burying some of the friars, but then they realized when they had to kind of excavate below the altar and kind of create catacombs to have more space for people to be buried, that is when they discovered there was something very particular about the soil in Sicily and the dryness of the area, that the bodies of the friars were not decayed, that they were mummified, that the skin had remained on their faces, and even sometimes the faces were recognizable. And what's really interesting, so they decided then to kind of in these tombs put these bodies on display. But a strange thing about this, with this order that kind of took this vow of poverty, something happened. It became a very fashionable thing for the very wealthy in Palermo that wanted to be a part of this. So it was no longer just the friars that were ended up being mummified, and they kind of mastered the technique of doing this. They started to mummify the congregation. The wealthy would pay a lot of money to have this. So it was a sensation to have one of your relatives like basically hanging up on the walls. And it's a kind of documentation of the dead throughout the decades, throughout the centuries, because it was been being done from the 1600s, 1700s, and even up to the early 19th and early 20th century.
I in fact have been there, and you know, everyone's arranged, people are standing up, people are holding pitchforks. It's quite strange. But one of the most spooky things is there was a young baby. Girl who, the baby, she died when she was two. She's under a little glass cavern. She looks as if she is asleep. It is absolutely bizarre to look at her. But yeah.
Do you know, did you say, I'm sorry to interrupt. The person apparently who did that, you know, apparently it was like he created the perfect process to mummify this body, to, you know, what is the word that we always use, to embalm this little baby so the baby looked perfect, but he died soon after. And so the legend is that, you know, what he created is now lost because he died. He did not have it documented anywhere. So nobody knows how to do it. And it's just that one example of this little two-year-old baby.
Look, we've also got, where is it? Someone else saying there's a similar Church of Bones in Cudnahora, which I just looked up is a Czech town. I know there are other places in Italy. I've certainly been to another church in Milan, which is just full of skulls. So it's something that is done around the place. But yes, this crypt in Rome is certainly one of the best examples and a most interesting visit. It's quite popular with tourists, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. A lot of, you know, companies like mine, we kind of combine it because, well, as you know, and I was so kind of interested when you guys approached us, because I think this is such a fascinating subject, not just the Capuchin monks, but of the resting places for the dead. We don't always have the opportunity to do this in Rome. It's just filled many, many, many different places. I think it has some of the most beautiful cemeteries in the world. You know, I just, I think it does create a sensation. And of course, a lot of people come to Rome, you know, for the Christianity, the center of the Catholic world. And a lot of early, we're talking about the early Christians in the 200s and the 300s after the birth of Christ, and they were buried in the catacombs. And so a lot of companies we love to combine going to the Capuchin monks and then going to the catacombs after and to see some other spots of underground Rome. And it's perfect at this time of year. As you were talking about earlier, you know, it's really, really hot. And so this is a great way to do a tour and to keep a little cool because there's not a lot of air conditioning to be had in the city of Rome.
Yeah. So you're in Rome right now, Rob. How hot is it there? Have you had the heat wave or is it yet to arrive?
Well, oh, no, no. Actually, I'm not in Rome right now. I'm enjoying the other heat wave because I live between Rome and London. So I'm in London, and London's having a bad heat wave. It's just kind of cooling off. Now, Rome is pretty hot, too. It's it was about 35, 36 the other day. And at least in London, it kind of will go away in a few days. But in Rome, unfortunately, it lasts for about 3 months usually nowadays.
Rob, we will have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us tonight to tell us a little bit about the Capuchin crypt in Rome.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I really enjoy talking about this. It is a wonderful subject, and I hope that people do come and experience Rome because it has so much more to offer than just besides the Colosseum and the Vatican museums.
That boring old Colosseum. We'd want to go there. We could go to the Capuchin crypt. Thanks, Rob. There's Rob Allen. He's a Rome-based tour guide for Through Eternity Tours. He's also the founder of that company.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.